okay. In Alhamdulillah, wa salam Allah wa rasulullah. Inshallah, we're going to get started on the Tawheed class for today. I would like to also remind everybody to make sure that you join the intensive Islam class today too, which will be around 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay, so don't forget that class, which will be today at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This class is taught by Brother Abu Mariam, who's one of Sheikh Atlee's students, and he teaches you the different fiqh issues in Islam. So make sure everybody is here for that class. Okay, for the Tawheed class, we're going to continue with the topic of what are some of the major sins in Islam. And before we begin, I would like to remind everybody of the purpose of us doing this series of lectures. The purpose of this series of lectures is not for you as a Muslim to sit around asking yourself if whether or not a sin is major or minor, because it doesn't matter, because all sins are acts of disobedience against the law, okay? And the believer doesn't ask himself if a sin is major or minor. He stays away from all sins because he would never deliberately, intentionally want to evoke the anger or the wrath of Allah upon himself. So the purpose of this class is not for you to ask yourself if something is major or minor. It's to familiarize yourself with what are some of the sins in Islam. And for those of you who are new to Islam, it's also to let you know what things are haram. So that's the purpose of these series of lectures. And the yesterday when we met, we talked about some of the sins. For example, we talked about the sin of lowering your garments, wearing your garments dragging the ground. Who can tell me, is this a prohibition for all Muslims? Is it a prohibition for all Muslims that they cannot drag their garments to the ground? That they cannot wear their garments to the ground? Okay, very good. It's only for men. And who can tell me, why is it just a prohibition against men? Why is it just for men and not women? Why is it a prohibition just for men? Very good, because the feet are part of the aura of a woman. Okay? A lot of women don't understand this. You go today and you see women wearing sandals with their shoes, their feet exposed, their toenails decorated and painted, you know, the rings on their toes. Okay? The top of the woman's foot is aura. It is supposed to be covered even when she prays. Okay? So this prohibition does not apply to women. For a woman, the top of your feet must be covered publicly so you can wear a jilbab that comes down to the ground. Okay? This prohibition applies to men. And why does it apply to men? What does wearing the clothing to the ground symbolize? Who can remember? What is it symbolic of? Very good. It symbolizes arrogance. Arrogance. This is how the kings and the queens, good job, Saliha. The kings and the queens, they always wore train. They always wear trains, because the longer the train is supposed to symbolize, the more noble you are, the more well-bred you are, and the more rich you are. So this is why we as Muslim men do not wear our garments dragging the ground, because it's a display of arrogance. And arrogance, pride is something that belongs to Allah, not to us. Okay? So this is a sin that we want to stay away from. Okay? Also, we talked about the sin yesterday of wearing silk and gold. Now, is this restriction for all Muslims? Is it prohibited for all Muslims to wear gold and silk? Very good. It's only for men. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. There's a lot of Muslims out there who do not want to follow the Sunnah. They will try to debate you. They will try to debate you and try to make things haram that Allah did not make haram. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, these two things, gold and silk, are prohibited only for the males of my ummah, not the females. Okay? So there's nothing wrong with the woman wearing gold. There's nothing wrong with the woman wearing silk. There's nothing wrong with the woman wearing a silk garment. Okay? So if some fanatic Muslim tries to tell you that you can't, they need to have fear of Allah. And the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did not put no restrictions on it, saying you can't wear it outside either. Okay? So we got to be wary of this, because you got a lot of Muslims out there who want to make things haram based on their personal likes or dislikes, especially when it comes to women. Okay? Okay, we also talked about the sin of slaying in the name of something other than Allah. We talked about the verse of the Quran where Allah says, in the interpretation of the meaning, eat not of meats on which Allah's name has not been pronounced. And we talked about how so many Muslims who want to make it haram for you to eat the meat of the Christian and Jew, they try to use this verse as their proof when this is not the truth. Who can tell me what is this verse in reference to? When Allah sent down this verse, what did he send this verse down in reference to? When he said, eat not of meats on which Allah's name has not been pronounced. What was he talking about? What is the meaning behind that verse? Who can remember? Very good. Allah is talking about you killing meat in the name of somebody else other than Allah. If somebody killed an animal in the name of their child, for example, you cannot eat that meat. If a person killed an animal and mentioned the name of anything other than Allah on it, you cannot eat it. But if the person did not mention no name at all, then it's lawful for you. It is lawful for you, because Allah tells us clearly that lawful for us is the food and the women of the people of the book. Okay? So you want to remember that, because a lot of fanatic extremist Muslims who like to go around making things haram will try to use that verse of the Quran out of context, and this is a form of shirk. Anytime we twist the words of Allah around to mean things that they were not intended to mean, we are guilty of shirk. Okay? So those are some of the sins that we talked about yesterday. And today we're going to continue on with more sins that we need to be aware of to stay away from. Beginning with the sin of insulting the Anzar. Insulting the Anzar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the sign of belief is to love the Anzar, and hating them is a sign of hypocrisy. Now, for those of you who don't know who the Anzar are, these were the tribe of Arabs in Medina. These were the Arabs of Medina who welcomed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, took him in and protected him against the unbelievers as he spread the message of Islam throughout the world, okay? It is haram to go around saying bad things about them like the Shiites do. It's haram to go around slandering them, insulting them, okay? Anybody who does this is not a person who truly believes in Allah and His Messenger. Also, another sin that we need to be aware of, and this is a common sin with many people today, is the sin of preaching or establishing errors. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who preaches for error will bear his sin and all those who follow him. In other words, if you preach something that is not in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah, for example, you encourage innovation, you encourage people to pray 4 rakats for Fajr instead of 2, you're going around preaching for this. This is something that is not true. The person who preaches for error in this religion will bear the sin, and plus the sin of all those who are silly enough to follow him. We need to understand that every new established thing in this religion is an error. You cannot go around introducing things into this religion which were not introduced by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, so this is a horrific sin that we need to be aware of, and unfortunately so many Muslims indulge in it every day. Innovation is on the high rise. Muslims innovate all the time. Okay? The next fatal sin that we need to be aware of, and this again is a nasty sin that we find so many Muslim women doing today, this is the sin of connecting the hair, separating the teeth, and tattoo marking. Connecting the hair means wearing a wig, getting extensions put in your hair, putting a wig on your head. Separating the teeth means you deliberately take something and try to put a space, the gap between your front two teeth, because this is supposed to symbolize beauty. So in the days of Jahiliyyah, and some people do it today too, the women would try to put this gap in their teeth and make themselves appear to be beautiful or whatever. This is a sin. And also tattoo marking, tattooing yourself. These are major sins. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah curses the one who wears false hair and the one who puts it in there. Also, Allah curses the tattoo maker and the one who made it. Also, Allah curses the person who removes the hair of their faces. Now, this is a big problem because you got a bunch of Muslim women walking around with arched eyebrows. And they'll tell you that so-and-so gave them a fatwa. Okay? This is a sin. You committed two sins. First of all, no one can issue a fatwa to you if the Prophet or Allah has already addressed something. Fatwa is opinion. The only time we go around seeking a fatwa is in regards to those things that Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not mention or make clear. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has clearly told you that you cannot remove the hair from your eyebrows. So what are you doing going and asking somebody to give you a fatwa to allow you to do it? Nobody can change this religion. Nobody can supersede Allah. And the hair between your eyebrows, for you women out there who are ignorant and don't know this, you need to go take a biology class. The hair between your eyebrows is part of your eyebrow, idiot. It is your eyebrow. And you cannot remove it. You have to learn to love yourself and stop being concerned with what other people think about you. The only person you should care about what they think about you is Allah. If you got a problem with how you look, you need to learn to get over it. And if somebody else has a problem with how you look, then they can hit the bricks. But you do not sit around disobeying Allah, cursing yourself because you suffer from some psychological disorder where you hate yourself or you want people to approve of you looking like an idiot walking around without no eyebrows on. SubhanAllah, any woman or man who does this, Allah has cursed you. And you wonder why your life is so hard. You wonder why you're going through problems in your life, why you're miserable, you're unhappy, nothing goes your way. Because you're walking around with the curse of Allah on you because you took the hair out of your eyebrows because you hate yourself. Fear Allah. also, not only has Allah cursed the idiot who removes the eyebrows, but the person who plucks it out for you. If you got some silly sister sitting there with you, y'all plants, let's pluck each other. Both y'all cursing each other double times. And you need to fear Allah. Okay? The reason why this removing the eyebrows is haram is because this is trying to change Allah's creation. Allah is the one who created us. He perfected us. Eyebrows are part of your originality. An eyebrow is just like a fingerprint. It's what separates you from other people. No two people have the same eyebrows. It's unique only to you. That's the way Allah made you. That's your fingerprint, your eyebrow. And you're sitting around changing it, cutting it off, shaping it to look like somebody else's. Because you suffer from some psychological disorder. You need to fear Allah, you women out there. And by the way, this is another one of the reasons why there will be more women in the hellfire than men, because women are quick to disobey Allah. Women are quick to go follow the fatwa of somebody else over Allah. A man would think twice before he accepts a fatwa. But women will follow anyone blindly to get what they want. Okay? So we have to stay away from this sin. The sin of wearing false hair. The sin of separating your teeth. The sin of arching your eyebrows, including removing the hair in between because you're an idiot and you don't know that that's part of your eyebrow. SubhanAllah, take a biology class. Alright? Let's move on to the next sin. That makes me angry because I went to this conference in Texas and every woman in the room almost sitting there with arch eyebrows. I'd never seen it before in my life. A room filled with 70-some women and mostly all of them's eyebrows are arched. And they're going to try to tell me. Going to try to tell me that they got a fatwa from somebody saying they can do it. You're going to follow that person to hell. You'll be sitting around following that person to hell. You can find a fatwa for anything out there. I can go tell you, there's a person out there who calls himself a scholar of Islam who will issue you a fatwa saying homosexuality is lawful too. So you're going to sit around and follow somebody else to hell because you hate yourself. It's disgusting. And the women look crazy if they only knew how ugly they look. I'm going to tell you the truth. Women look ugly without eyebrows. You look like a fool. You look like something is missing. And you wonder why your husband is always looking at some other woman. Because you going around butchering yourself because you hate the way you look. What a fear of Allah. The eyebrows is what attracts a man, you silly women. SubhanAllah. Okay, let's move on to the next sin. The next sin that we need to stay away from is the sin of pointing a weapon at another Muslim. This is something that we do not do, not even in fun. You cannot take a knife and say, oh, I was playing and point it at somebody, or an arrow, or a gun. This is a sin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who points a weapon at another Muslim will be cursed by the angels, even if he was his blood brother. So we have to fear Allah with this. And we have to teach our children this too, to not play like that, to not sit around playing cops and robbers, pointing guns, toy guns at each other, and these type of things, because this is wrong. This is a horrific sin. The next sin we need to stay away from is the sin of not calling, the sin of calling someone else your mother or father, and they're not. Now this is something that's, if you guys remember a couple years ago, I had to put a brother in check here at this website. He stopped coming here too because of course he thought I was mean. They all think Lila Nasheeba's mean because she speaks the truth. Remember that brother we had here? He used to join the website. He used to call me his mommy, call Umm Abdul his mama. He would call, called Amina his grandmother. He used to call people his auntie. This stuff is haram. And he got offended because we told him you can't do that. In fact, it was Sheikh Atli who told him he can't do that. That this is a sin. You don't go around referring to people as being your mother and father and aunt and grandmother when they're not. SubhanAllah. Okay? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who calls himself for someone who is not his father and he knows it, paradise will be forbidden for him. Do not hate your real father. For to hate your real father and call somebody else your father is a sign of unbelief. He who calls himself not to his father, let Allah's curse be upon him. So you can see how serious a sin this is. It doesn't matter. You can raise me from the time I was born to the time I died. I'm not your daughter. And I'm not a mahram to you either. Just because you raised somebody, that person is not a mahram to you. That means you cannot be alone with that person. You have to cover for that person. That still is haram. If your mother told you that, then she told you a lie. And when you find out that that person is not your real mother, then you don't call her your real mother. Okay? Oh, your stepfather. This is something different. Now, let me tell y'all about the stepfather's a mahram to you. Long as you know he's not your real father, you can call your stepfather stepfather. We're talking about calling somebody who is no kin to you, no relationship with you at all, adopting somebody else to be your father or your mother. That's what we're talking about. And even with your stepfather, he's not your real father. But you can refer to him as your stepfather because that's what he is. And he is a mahram to you. That means you cannot marry him. That means you can make hajj with him. He's your wali. Even if your mother divorced him, he remains a mahram to you. So that's different. Okay? Okay, brother or sister Zam, we already explained. We know what surah it is, but we already explained the meaning behind that. Okay? We're not going to go through that debate because I just gave you the tafsir behind that sentence. And we're not going to play games and twist it around to try to make it mean something it doesn't mean. We just talked about how that's a sin. Okay? Okay, so be careful referring to people as being your father and your mother and your grandfather and your brother and sister. That's my play brother. There is no play brother in Islam. That's my play sister. There is no play sister in Islam. Okay? The mahrams have been clearly defined by Allah, and we have to be aware of who they are. And anyone who refers to someone else as being their father or mother, and they know it's not their father and mother, paradise will be forbidden for them. This is also why adoption is haram in Islam. There is no adoption in Islam. You can sponsor a child, but you cannot adopt a child. And you have to also understand, even if you're sponsoring a child, that child is not a mahram to you. When that child reaches the age of puberty, you got to cover up around it if it's the opposite sex. You cannot be alone with it. You can't touch it. Okay? The next fatal sin that we need to be aware of is the sin of drinking or eating in gold or silver containers. Now, we talked about how it's haram for men to wear gold, okay? But it's haram for both men and women to eat or drink from real gold or real silver. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who eats in gold or silver containers, hellfire will gargle in his belly. He who drinks from silver made containers will not drink from it on the day of judgment. Okay? This means if your grandfather, or I mean, your grandmother had you to inherit her silverware, you can put it out on display, but you cannot eat from it. If it's real silver, you cannot eat out of it. If it's real gold, you cannot eat out of it. You can have it on display, but that's about it. Because this is a fatal sin to eat or drink from real gold or silver. That also means gold-plated. Because you can buy dishes that's gold-plated. If it's real gold, you still can't eat from it. Okay? The next fatal sin that we need to be aware of is the sin of disputing and arguing. And this is something that the Muslims need to seek refuge in Allah from today. So many Muslims sit around arguing and disputing this religion. They think that this is dawah. Especially here on the internet. You look at all these so-called Islamic chat rooms, which are really just chat rooms of fitna. You go to those chat rooms and you find Muslims arguing with each other and arguing with the kafir. This is a sin. Allah tells us in the Quran, in the interpretation of the meaning, there is the type of man whose speech about this world life may dazzle you, and he calls Allah to witness about what is in his heart. Yet he is the most contentious of enemies. When he turns his back, his aim everywhere is to spread mischief through the earth. Now what Allah is talking about in this verse of the Quran is not only a person who argues, but the person who argues is a hypocrite too. Wa alaykum salam. He's a hypocrite too. He wants to waste his time arguing and debating a religion when he himself doesn't even practice it. So that makes it even worse. Also, Allah says in the interpretation of the meaning, those who dispute about the signs of Allah without any authority bestowed upon them, there is nothing in their hearts except greatness, which they shall never attain. Seek refuge then in Allah, for He sees and hears all. Now this is for those Muslims that you find sitting around arguing, debating, and this is why I'm constantly reminding all of you at this website, especially Brother Islam here, to stop arguing with these people. To stop arguing with these people about your religion, because this is a fatal sin. These people are not interested in learning about Allah. They're not interested in the Sunnah. All they want to do is dispute with you and get you upset and make you leave away from your true belief. So this is why we don't indulge in argumentation with other people about our religion. That goes for arguing with the Christians and the Jews too. We don't do this. This is not the way to give dawah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not sit around arguing and disputing this religion with the Jews or the Christians. Neither did the companions. So where does this misconception come from? I don't know. Some misguided person. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most hated person to Allah. The most hated person to Allah. The most hated person to Allah are those who dispute the religion. Allah hates this. Those people you see sitting up on Pale Talk arguing with the kafir, talking about they're giving da'wah. Allah hates you, brother. You ain't impressing nobody. You got Allah angry. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who argues in a quarrel with knowledge is still under Allah's anger until he ceases. So if you a person, brother Islam, and you got knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah, while you're sitting there arguing with these people, Allah remains angry with you, hating you until you stop. So don't do this. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no nation goes astray except from their violent arguments. This is what happened to the Jews and Christians, brother Islam. This is what led to them being the way they are today, astray, away from believing in Tawheed. Because they used to sit around debating with each other about the religion. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, the very things that I fear the most of my nation is the mistakes of a scholar, false argumentation about something in the Quran, and a word that cuts your necks. He said false arguing, arguing about the Quran, is disbelief. He who argues with others for something that is not even true is under Allah's anger. So we have to stay away from this. And this is why I tell you guys, don't waste your time sitting around arguing with verses of the Quran. Allah says that, for example, lawful for you is the meat of the people of the book. So don't waste your time trying to argue another verse. Have fear of Allah and accept what Allah says, even if you don't like it. Even if you don't understand it. If you don't like the meat of the people of the book, then go eat the meat of the other Muslims. But you can't sit around and tell somebody else that they can't eat the people of the book's meat, because Allah said they can. Okay? In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shyness and speechlessness are part of faith, but obscenity and fluency is hypocrisy. Now that's a deep hadith. What does that mean? What he's saying in this hadith is, the person who keeps his mouth shut, the person who shuts his mouth and doesn't indulge in arguing, this is a person who has fear of Allah. The person who has to open up his mouth and want to argue with others, this is a person who's really a hypocrite. So we need to think twice before we open up our mouths and get into arguments with other people about this deen. Have fear of Allah. This is why I tell you guys all the time, I don't care how much Quran you've memorized, I don't care how well you can read the Quran, I don't care how much Arabic you speak, if you come from Yemen, Timbuktu, Mars, planet Earth, I don't care. All that Quran don't mean nothing until you learn the Sunnah. Until you learn the Sunnah, you will never understand the Quran. And you can sit there and quote verses to me all you want to, but it ain't going further than your throat until you learn that Sunnah. And these are the hadiths, and all these hadiths are authentic, which are the proof, brother Islam, that you cannot sit around arguing your religion. with anyone, be it a kafir or a Muslim. Okay? For the kafirs, we have a surah that you're supposed to recite. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. That's what you recite to a kafir, but then argue with him. And for your Muslim brother, when your Muslim brother comes to you, wanting to debate the religion with you, you tell him, I know my religion. If you have lost your religion, brother, go out and look for it. That's what we say to the Muslim. You don't sit around arguing. Okay? The next sin that I want to talk about for today is the sin of fraud. The sin of dealing in fraud. Allah tells us in the Quran, in the interpretation of the meaning, woe unto those who deal in fraud. Woe unto those when they have to receive by measure from men, they cheat. They do not give the men what is due unto them. Do they not think that they will be called to account on the mighty day? Fraud, guys, is a form of deception. Deception is a form of lying. And as everybody knows, lying is a major horrific sin. We have to be careful of this, because Muslims are falling into this form too, frauding each other, cheating each other, lying to each other when it comes to business. We have to have fear of the law, because on the day of judgment, these people will be in the lowest levels of the hellfire. The next fatal sin I want to talk about for today is the sin of not fearing Allah's plan. Not fearing Allah's plan. Allah tells us in the Quran, in the interpretation of the meaning, did they then feel secure against the plan of Allah? But no one can feel secure from the plan of Allah except those damned to ruin. Now what this is talking about is, for those people who think that they can outsmart Allah, that they can change Allah's decree, for those people who think that Allah is not in charge of things, that you can sit around and plan something and Allah don't know what you're doing and you can outsmart him, this is a horrific sin. Remember, guys, for those people who reject Qadr, for those people who reject the decree of Allah, they are unbelievers. Any Muslim who claims he can change his destiny, any Muslim who does not believe that Allah is in control of everything that happens to us, is an unbeliever. So we have to seek refuge from this. Remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every nation has its fire worshippers. The fire worshippers, And you guys here, what's going on? The server's acting crazy. Okay, wait a minute. I sent a message too about the server. Okay. Another sin that we need to stay away from is the sin of ungratefulness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "He who does not thank people does not thank Allah." Ungratefulness is one of the fatal sins. We have to learn how to say thank you. We have to learn how to show our gratitude to others. To think that somebody owes you something just because you are Muslim is wrong. To think that somebody owes you something, this is ungratefulness. So we need to stay away from this. There's a thin line between ungratefulness and pride, too. So we have to check our hearts always to make sure that they're not filled with ungratefulness. The next fatal sin is the sin of branding an animal or a human on their face. This is a sin. Branding. That means to put your mark on an animal or a person. To make the world think, know that this person belongs to you or this animal belongs to you. Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by a donkey which was branded on its face, and he said, "Allah curses the person who brands an animal on its face." So we have to stay away from this. Islam is such a beautiful way of life. It teaches us kindness with each other and also kindness to a lot of other creatures too, to his animals too. We cannot sit around branding them on their faces. This is a painful thing. And that brings us to the next fatal sin, which is the sin of gambling. The sin of gambling. Allah tells us in the Quran what a terrible sin this is. He says in the interpretation of the meaning, "O you who believe, intoxicants and gambling are an abomination of Shaitan's handiwork. Stay away from them so that you may prosper." Gambling can take on many different forms, guys. Many different forms, from simply making a bet with your brother for some money, or indulging in insurance. This is why insurance is haram, because it involves gambling. If I die, you can collect this amount of money from me. If I get in an accident and break my right leg, you can pay me this amount of money. Gambling is a horrific sin, and we need to stay away from it. Also, gambling falls underneath the same sin as interest, indulging in interest. And Allah has declared war on the people who ate interest in this life on the Day of Judgment. Okay? The next fatal sin, okay, in regards to car insurance, you know, you are forced to get it, nothing you can do. There's always an exception to everything, and the exception to anything is if you are forced. If somebody forces you to do something, that's something different. Now, you can eat pork if you're forced to do it, okay? And now they got two different opinions about this car insurance too, which is something totally different. Before, the scholars used to say, since you have to have car insurance, only get liability. But now they issued another fatwa saying there's an exception, that you can get comprehensive if your livelihood depends on it. Say, for example, you're a taxi cab driver. This is how you make your living, driving a cab. If your cab gets tore up, You have no money, no way to make a living for your family. So in this case, the scholars have issued a fatwa saying car insurance, complete insurance would be allowed if it would affect your livelihood. So that's a new fatwa that the Islamic Fiqh Council here in America issued recently. Okay? The next prayer I want to talk about, the next sin I want to talk about is the sin of leaving the Friday prayer to pray alone. Juma prayer is obligatory upon all males who reach the age of puberty. Juma prayer is not obligatory for a woman. A woman doesn't have to ever in her life go to Juma, because a woman gets more blessings praying by herself in her bedroom than she would in the Prophet's mosque with a million Muslims. Okay? So this sin applies to men. Every man is supposed to attend Juma prayer. And any man who misses 3 Juma prayers out of carelessness, Allah shall make his heart inaccessible. Also, during the caliphate of Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, any man who didn't show up for 3 Juma prayers, he would go to their house, and if that man did not have a valid excuse as to why he was absent from Juma for the past month, Umar would then execute him as an apostate. That's how serious a thing it is for you men to attend Juma. You should not miss more than 3 Jumas in a row. For you men living in America, living in the United Kingdom, living in Australia, you should try to have your boss take you off at least 1 Friday out the month. So that way you're not missing 3 in a row. You should try to take off at least 1 Friday out of the month. Because to miss 3 Jumas in a row, Allah will not make your heart accessible. In other words, Shaitan's going to come to you and start playing games with you and start tempting you to commit other sins. Okay? Friday prayer is obligatory upon every mature male Muslim. Okay? The next fatal sin I want to talk about for today is the sin of spying on other Muslims and going back telling people what they look like. I'm going to tell you something. This is why I tell you women, I encourage you women to not take off your hijab. I mean, when Muslim women get together, what's the first thing they do? They start taking off their clothes, showing these other women how they look. And then 2 days later, you want to know why is it that everybody in the mosque know that you got nappy hair? Or why is it that everybody in the mosque know that you got a tattoo on your leg? Why is it everybody in the mosque know that you got a beauty mark on your arm? Because you sit around stripping off your clothes to other people. Okay? Although a Muslim woman can undress around another Muslim woman, I strongly discourage it. Because women talk, women gossip, women are envious of other women. They will go back and tell how you look. And this is a sin. This is a sin to go back and tell other people how another Muslim looks. Okay? And this is why, if you ever invite Layla Nasheeba to your home, Layla Nasheeba never takes off her hijab. I will walk around in a hijab all day and all night. I don't take it off around women or men. Because women talk too much. Women are too jealous. Women are too envious. And if some woman were to go back and describe me, it would make me angry and I'd want to hurt her. So rather than cause myself to commit a sin of almost murdering somebody, I don't take off my clothes around people. Except my husband and my family, my close family, meaning sister and brothers, that's it. My best friend will tell you, she's never seen my hair. Been my best friend for years. She's never seen my hair. And she never will. Never seen my legs either. Arms either. Right? The next fatal sin. Okay, well basically, well, oh, that's that. Okay. So basically, those are all the different sins that I want everybody to be aware of, and what I want to do is go over a few more things too. We need to remember that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none of you is a believer until he likes for his brother what he likes for himself. None of you is a believer. If I was not more beloved to you than your family and your children, yourself. And this is a big thing. A lot of Muslims today are not believers. They claim they love the Prophet, but they don't, because they don't follow the Sunnah. If you love the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will obey him. You will follow him. You will not disobey him by arching your eyebrows because your husband told you. So a lot of people claim to be Muslim, but very few Muslims make it to the status of a believer. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none of you is a believer until his desires are in accordance with what was revealed to me. None of you is a believer if your neighbors do not trust you. None of you can call yourself a believer if you see an evil and you don't try to change it. We need to understand, guys, the Muslims and the believers are two different individuals. All believers are Muslims, but not all Muslims reach the status of being a believer. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that the day will come when there will be princes and kings appointed over you. And you will know things you like and things you hate. He who hates the evils of the prince, he cleared and freed his conscience. And he who rejects them is in safety. But he who is satisfied with them is like them. This is a very beautiful hadith, and it's a powerful hadith because it talks about what's going on today. We got all these so-called scholars around us, scholars over us, imams around us. They may do things wrong. They may issue wrong fatwas. But you know the fatwas are wrong, but you sit there and agree with them. For the person who knows it's wrong and rejects them, this is a person who has preserved his religion. We have to understand something else, guys, about the scholars too. When the scholars issue a fatwa, they get a reward for their effort, even if they're wrong. But if you know that fatwa is wrong, that it contradicts something Allah says, and instead of you rejecting it, but you follow it, you don't get no reward. You're going to answer to Allah because you've now committed shirk. You put your scholar on the same level equal to Allah and his messenger. And this is a sin. So again, these are just some of the many different sins that you guys need to be aware of. And again, the purpose of us going over these sins is not for you to ask yourself, oh, is this sin major or is this sin minor? But the purpose of it is to familiarize you with the different types of sin, because all sins are actions of disobedience to Allah, and a believer would never, ever, ever intentionally disobey Allah. Okay, so we're going to stop right here for today, and this will conclude the lecture on major sins. If you guys have any questions about anything, the floor is open. You can go ahead and ask them now, inshallah.